It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're into the final days of the midterm election race, with more candidates for public office turning to social media to sway voters. We decided to turn to Tribune Review reporter Andrew Conti for a look at the impact of social media on the Pennsylvania governor's race between incumbent Republican Governor Tom Corbett and Democratic challenger Tom Wolf. Andrew Conti, welcome back. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Let's begin with a revelation that neither Governor Corbett nor Mr. Wolf send out their own tweets. Say what?
Right. So that's the knock on politicians, right, that they come off as too robotic. And so we started looking into it with their Twitter accounts. There's a new app out there that you can put in a Twitter handle, and it tells you, is this a bot or not? It's called Bot or Not. And so we put in the two gubernatorial candidates, and they both came back as, well, like 50% chance they might be robots. I'm like, what? And it turned out that neither one of them tweet. They don't. They just don't do it. They didn't do it before they ran for office for governor. And so,
who is sending those tweets?
It's their staff. The staff does it. It's not. That's one of the new things now, is you can have a robot that sends out tweets, and so it could come off as very robotic, and they come out all the time. But for these guys, their staff does it, and so they kind of look robotic because the tweets are coming out from all over the state at all hours of the day. And
all right, now let me just kind of wrap my head around this. So how does a robot send out the tweets? What does the robot – the robot is programmed to – you know, it's given characteristics of the actual person, and then they
– Yeah. It's like the latest thing in artificial intelligence is they can make social media accounts that are run by robots that interact with humans. And so you may be interacting with somebody online and not realizing it's a robot or a machine, a computer behind it.
That is so Twilight Zone-ish.
I had this great follow last week.
Orwell-ish.
Yeah, this Taye Diggs, the actor.
Orwellian, I should say.
I was so excited because he followed me on Twitter. I was like, oh, this is great. And
little did you know.
Yeah, I put his handle into Bot or Not, and it came back that he was almost certainly a robot. And I was like, oh, this can't be. And I called him out, and I got no response, so it must be a robot.
Yeah, the robot was so embarrassed it couldn't send you another tweet. Well, are candidates for public office increasingly turning to social media, that doing what you're describing to sway voters?
Right, because it's like a cost-free way for them to reach lots and lots of people. And so and they use it differently. If you go on Facebook, there's a billion Facebook users, right? And on Facebook, it's much more your community. It's your family, friends, people you know in the real world. And so that's a place where a politician can go in and really start to build – popularity. You know, somebody can sway. And if you see one of your friends from real life liking somebody or liking a policy position, you think, well, maybe I should at least re-examine that myself. And then Twitter, on the other hand, they're using it much more for just getting out messages. A lot of it is alerting the media. So it's a lot of conversations. And there's a big echo chamber on Twitter too.
Right. Yeah. Who maintains the accounts?
So the campaigns do. It's part of the campaign account. The Wolf campaign in particular, they have a digital media person who that's all he does is social media and other digital media outreach, like emails to supporters and tweets. And they do Throwback Thursdays, you know, where people put up old photos of themselves. So the Wolf campaign has been putting up old photos of Tom Wolf, and they posted his marriage photo a couple weeks ago.
Did he have like a fro or anything?
They did do one before where they were trying to find one where he didn't have a beard, and they were having fun with it. They posted a baby photo and like, oh, we found one without a beard. So.
But by five, by kindergarten, he was sporting full facial hair.
Yeah.
We're talking to Andrew Conti, who is a Tribune Review reporter, looking at the impact of social media on the Pennsylvania governor's race. As we delve further into this conversation, I think it's important to talk about what some of the more insidious ways technology is being used are.
Right. The one thing that we found that it was the thing that originally got my attention was the Russian parliamentary elections back in 2011. There were all these protesters in the streets, and somebody went out, you know, who knows who it was, right? But somebody went out and started creating fake Twitter handles, and they were able to flood the hashtags that the protesters were using. So it wasn't a situation – they didn't take down Twitter. We've seen that happen in other countries where protests have come up, right, in Egypt when the protests happened there. But what they did instead was they created robots that sent out so many messages that they just made Twitter useless.
Well, let's see now. Russia, dissent, we want to suppress it. Who would be behind that? I don't know. The Kremlin? Putin?
Who could be behind it?
That wouldn't be too hard to figure out. Now, political supporters are known to spread rumors on social media. How much of that is happening here?
Yeah, so it has happened before. The big one is the Massachusetts had a special election, and there somebody – it looked like they were supporters that had suddenly started sending out these messages, and some researchers went back and looked, and they found that one person had created several Twitter handles, and they started sending out messages, and over a matter of hours, they were able to reach 60,000 people with a totally false, made-up piece of information. You know, and who's to say the person that the information was about did lose the election, but who's to know whether or not that contributed to it? But it's one of those things that's out there that's cost free and it's hard to police. But I did hear from a lot of people that Twitter and Facebook have gotten a lot better about sort of weeding out people that are using it maliciously.
You think they would have, you know, maybe done that a lot sooner, but at least they're doing it now.
That's a tough thing. You know, we talked earlier about hackers a few weeks ago. And the thing is, in both of these cases, it's the bad guys are constantly evolving and trying to think of ways to use technology to their own means, to their own ends. And on the other hand, you've got the companies that create these things and the good guys, they're all trying to, you know, protect it for the rest of us.
Talk about the proliferation of fake Twitter followers.
This is totally great. How many Twitter followers do you have, Paul? Do you have like tens of thousands?
Millions.
Millions,
they're everywhere.
If you don't, you totally should because you can go out and buy them. You can get something like 30,000 Twitter followers for about $50.
Well, who was it that got – wasn't – I guess Governor Corbett got busted here.
It was Newt Gingrich when he ran for president.
Oh, Newt Gingrich. That's
right. Yeah, right. So the in that case, he was boasting that he had over a million Twitter followers, and then some research analysts went and looked at it, and they were like, well, we think maybe about 100 of them are definitely real people. The rest are either made up or could be made up. We ran both of the gubernatorial candidates, Corbett and Wolf. We ran them through the same analysis. There's a company out in California. It's Barracuda Technologies. And so they took the Twitter handles and they ran an analysis on them. And they said in both of those guys, they had about 6% of their followers were fake. And they thought that was well within a normal range. It's not that they went out and bought them probably. It's that people that fake followers, the robots that are trying to build up their credibility, will follow famous people and try to get a follow back. And so that's probably what was going on.
So but, as far as we know, neither gubernatorial campaign is behind fake followers.
No. Yeah. No, they don't. But that's only because – during the last presidential election, a lot of politicians got caught with fake followers. And it's real easy. On eBay, you go on and there are all these services that sell fake Twitter followers and fake Facebook likes. So,
how do the campaigns use social media to positively show the candidates' personalities?
Right. So we talked about like Throwback Thursday or the Governor Corbett when the Pirates made it to the playoffs. They had they hung a Pirates flag outside of the governor's mansion, and so took a photo of it, sent it out on Twitter, posted it to Facebook.
So this is looks like a kind of a clever, cute thing that Governor Corbett would have done, but in fact, it wasn't anything of the sort. And in fact, the flag wasn't even there in reality.
Oh, no, there really was a flag there.
Was there?
But,
a flag?
Yeah, there was a flag, but they posted it to Facebook. They're trying to make him look more human. Same with the Wolf campaign. They showed me last winter where there was a real bad snowstorm and Tom Wolf was going out to get, you know, bread and milk like the rest of us in the snow. And so his wife took all these photos of him leaving in the Jeep and the Jeep, you know, which has become iconic. And so – but she didn't post them to Twitter because she doesn't do Twitter and he doesn't do Twitter. So she sent them to the campaign and then they posted it to Twitter and said, oh, you know, Tom's heading out in the snow. Be careful. It just sort of makes the candidates look more human.
Like they're affected by things the same way we are.
Yes. Even the snow falls in the governor's mansion.
So neither right, and neither candidate was on Twitter before the campaign?
No, they weren't. So that was part of the deal was that the campaign said, you know, we're not trying to trick people. We don't want to make it seem like they are talking on Twitter. And so what they do instead is they will put the – if it's a quote from the candidate – they'll actually put it in quote marks and sign it with the candidate's initials so that you know that it's – this is something that the candidate said or was behind in some way. Otherwise, it's just from the campaign.
And you report that both campaigns have gone negative on social media.
Well, right. That's the kind of funny thing about it. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking at all these things we talked about like in Russia and the protests in Hong Kong. There was a lot of, you know, negative things that went around Twitter. And I was saying to the campaigns, well, you know, you guys wouldn't do negative campaigning on social media. And they said, well, you know, yeah, we do. And in fact, and so – if you start looking at their accounts, what they're doing is posting things about each other, like the campaign commercials. You know, if they do a negative campaign commercial, they'll also float it out on Facebook and Twitter and say, hey, check this out. And it's because, you know, it's free. They want to share it, put it out there, and maybe people will see it. The one thing that we followed was the last debate they had. During the debate, where the candidates are on stage, right, and their accounts were just going crazy on each other. They were just like shooting things back and forth and like, hey, you know, the candidate just said this. You should check out this policy statement. And hey, you know, Governor Corbett said this or Tom Wolf said this. You don't really mean it. And, you know, back and forth. And obviously the candidates weren't doing it. They were on stage.
So obviously it was, you know, the people behind them that do it all the time.
Right.
Interesting, an article that was recently in the Tribune Review, Andrew Conte, looking at the impact of social media on the Pennsylvania governor's race. And the good news is it'll all be over in less than 2 weeks.
Less than 2 weeks. And then, yeah, then it becomes a whole other issue how the whoever wins the election. I mean, Governor Corbett has his campaign account, but he also has an official account. And so, you know, then – and the same thing will happen for Wolf because Tom Wolf, I guess, at one point had a blog, and so it's a question now. Will he bring it back as governor if he becomes elected?
We'll have to wait and see. In the meantime, Andrew Conte, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Until tomorrow, so long for now.